Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is particularly Amos 5, beginning with verse 1 and going to verse 2. Hear this word which I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fall and no more to rise is the virgin Israel, for taken from her land with none to raise her up. There's a popular TV commercial on TV showing lately with pictures busy people harassed in downtown. And one scene in particular is very interesting. It portrays a businesswoman and a businessman sprinting for a taxi cab. The businesswoman arrives first, she leaps into the taxi cab, slams the door shut, and the cab drives off. That scene, I think, typifies that we all know too well to be the truth. It's so common that it's almost a cliche to say it. We live in a dog-eat-dog competitive world. One simply has to walk around downtown during lunch hours to see it. What you see are people shoving others out of line. You see taxi cab drivers and pedestrians staring at one another. You see impatient customers insisting and demanding immediate service. But compassion is not that common. People are too busy. People are too insistent on their own rights. People are too competitive. People are too envious and jealous to show compassion. Children, ever since they were little, are learning to be competitive. Women take courses in assertiveness training. Businessmen learn how to practice confrontational negotiation. But where is compassion? Compassion is hard to find. Compassion is hard to find in society. Compassion is hard to find in the churches. Compassion is hard to find even in our own hearts. But contrast the God who is revealed in our text. If anybody had the right to be cold and indifferent, it was the God of Israel. He was the almighty creator of the universe. He threw the sun and the stars into place. As Amos tells us in verse 8, he who made the Pleiades and Orion and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. He is Yahweh, the God of hosts, in whose heavenly armies are myriads of angels. And yet, in our text, we see this God weeping. Hear this word which I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. God weeps for his people. He takes up a lamentation. He takes up a funeral dirge, just like the funeral dirge that King David sang over the death of Saul and Jonathan. In fact, God even sings this funeral dirge in the traditional limping meter in which funeral dirges were sung in the ancient days. Fall and no more to rise is the virgin Israel. In our text, we see God weeping for his people. How God's people's impending doom grieves their God. No doubt this message was quite a shock to the 8th century northern Israelites. Falling no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken from their land with none to raise her up. It must have been like reading your own obituary in the daily newspaper. It must have been quite a shocker. Falling is the virgin Israel. God's virgin bride would fall in disgrace. And it was so certain that God sings it in the past tense. It will happen. God's people will go into exile. Israel, of course, had sinned against their God. They rebelled against him. They had loved evil, not good. They had gone after their idols rather than been faithful to their God who loved them and who delivered them from Egypt. And so God would vent out his righteous anger upon them, and he would judge them in his justice. He would send them into exile. So first of all, our text is a call to repent. It's a call for Israel to repent, to seek God and live, to fall on their face and confess their transgressions before him. And it's a call from God for us to repent if God don't see them. We who so often grieve the Holy Spirit, we who so often love evil and not good, we who so often rejoice in another's misfortunes rather than show compassion, we too are called to confess our transgressions before God our Father. But God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he turn from his evil way and live. God wants to give life. Seek me and live, he says. And the God who invites us to seek him and live is the God of compassion. It is compassion in the literal, etymological sense, from Latin compatio, to suffer with. This God has just compassion. He laments over Israel's doom, just like Israel will lament, as Amos tells us in verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, in all the squares there shall be wailing, and in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. They shall call the farmers to mourning, and to wailing those who are skilled in lamentation. And in all vineyards there shall be wailing, for I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. This God has compassion for his people. See the sorrow of God in our text. See God's tears weep on the page. See God weep and moan and long for his people. See God's intense love and mercy and pity for his people. This is not the God of Aristotle, the immovable mover, the impersonal, cold, cruel force. This is a God who has compassion for sinful men. Our text anticipates another time when God would weep over his people, when the God incarnate in Christ wailed and wept by saying, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would gather your children like a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. God's compassion in Amos 5 anticipates his and leads to his compassion when he would suffer for his people in Christ Jesus. The Word became flesh and died, hung on the cross for sinful Israel. There on the cross, we see God's compassion, suffering and dying for all of sinful mankind. Christ is the true Israel who fell in Israel's place, who went into exile in our place, who took upon himself the punishment that the whole world deserves. But thanks be to God that Christ was not fallen no more to rise. Christ rose from the dead gloriously on the third day. And because of his resurrection, we have life. While in baptism, we too died and rose with Christ, which gives us eternal life right now. And our baptism serves as our guarantee that on Christ's second coming, we too will rise from the dead and inherit the eternal kingdom. So we long for Christ's second advent, when Christ will raise us up on the last day and when he will have compassion for us. Therefore, may our text in Amos 5 lead us to repentance and to faith in the compassionate God. And may God's compassion in Christ Jesus lead you as future pastors to be pastors of compassion, to show compassion to people in this world of cold and cruel and self-centered people. So this Advent season, May Christ's death and resurrection increase in us true love for our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.